we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, November 14th, 2019, starting a bit late this evening at it's approximately 7:20. Ms. Hoffman, would you please call roll?
Mayor Dewey?
Here.
Councilmember Short?
Here.
Councilmember Vick?
Here.
Councilmember Gibson?
Here.
And Councilmember Holcomb?
Here.
Great, thank you. If you'd please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we do have a lengthy agenda tonight, and we'll do our best, just bear with us as we navigate through the content. First up on the council's consideration is approval of minutes. You have September 12th through October 10th. Some of these are for reconsideration. Mr. Gibson.
I think I only have one correction. I talked to Monica. It's on the September 24th. Hopefully this third time's a charm. Under Jim Tavick's comments, and again, it was about mileage, that the person would not be paid mileage from Lolo to here. Pay for work is a different thing, and I assume that wouldn't happen either. But the word is mileage. It was agreed that mileage would not be paid for any employee. Of course, the police and all that, it's emergency, and you go wherever you go. But it's mileage, not paid for work.
Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the minutes of September 12th, September 18th, September 24th public hearing minutes, September 24th meeting minutes, and October 10th meeting minutes.
Second.
All right. It's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Sheward, to approve September 12th, September 18th, September 24th public hearing, September 24th meeting, and October 10th meeting minutes. Council discussion. Public comment? All right. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Sheward.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
Okay, minutes are approved. We have approval of biweekly claims. Mr. Underwood.
We have claims 15555 to 15610 for a total of $59,355.22.
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve? Ms. Holcomb?
I move that we approve the biweekly claims, and I did not hear that amount. So from 15555 through 15610, and for $59,355.37.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Vick, that the biweekly claims be approved, numbers 15555 through 15610, in the amount of $59,355.27. Council discussion or questions for the finance officer? Ms. Holcomb?
On page 307, 15578 for $9,500. 15578. On page 307.
Okay.
For $9,500.
Roger, that is the drawdown of the grant that we received for the Big Sky.
It's a Big Sky Trust Fund draw. So it's a pass-through grant we received from the state, and it's for Montana Fabrications. So it's a grant that Reseda primarily handles for us.
Okay, we're not late on this payment, are we?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Any further questions?
I've got no other corrections besides the one I talked to Robert about, but apparently we cannot change my name in the system or it just throws everything out of whack. So it was just spelled incorrectly.
Autocorrect is funny that way. All right, is there anything further from council? Public comment on approval of the claims? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Sheward?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Okay, claims are approved. Next on the agenda is administrative reports. One of the airport manager reports tonight. Oh, is Craig here? Craig, go ahead.
This is Benjamin Paul, Randy Craig Thomas, Airport Board Chair of the Airport Board. We completed maintenance on the windsock, the rotating beacon. We completed maintenance on the PAPI, which was not functioning properly. Taken the snowplow down and had it serviced. And put the brush on and cleaned off all the runways. We've mowed the runway lights. So we're now in compliance with everything that we have a checklist of a couple of things that we needed to do. We're ready for snow. And we have three people that are on call to do voluntary snow removal. And we had structural repair up there last year. Dustin and his crew, they rebuilt an aircraft last year. And if you were to get the Cessna Pilot Association magazine, it is the centerfold. So that's probably happens like never. So those guys are really doing some spectacular work there. The board has looked at, and I would like to jump ahead to the decision for the land use and the lot lease. I have another meeting that I need to attend to. The board has recommended to accept the lease for lot 5 and block 5 for the Stevensville Airport. That would be Orcott, and he will bring 7 permanent employees to the airport. They do magnetos for aircraft engines. They're buying that hangar. They'll do some modifications to it. This year will send out approximately 2,400 magnetos internationally. They've sent 2,000 out already. Now, the other land lease is for lot 6, block 7, block 1 of the Stevensville Airport. That's 2 lots. One has a septic on it. It can't have a hangar on it. So the person that is purchasing the hangar is purchasing the area for the hangar so that the airport is not shorted the lease area. This was a thing that happened in the 80s. So, and we would approve that. There will be aircraft in there. So if there are any questions on those, I can address those at this time.
Thanks, Craig.
And I will have to depart, so thank you very much. One other thing, we have been working with Montana Aeronautics. They're going to have some other additional grants. We're working with Morris and Merrily. We're working on this expansion to bring our 5-year plan up to date. It looks like the money will be available. There may be additional funding available from Montana Aeronautics. Appreciate very much the efforts that the mayor went through to get our SAM done so that they could put this into effect. If it hadn't been for him doing 3 days of work, we wouldn't have been able to make the application deadline. And our new treasurer, I'd like to thank Robert for his assistance here. And Laura's been coaching me on how to get through the meetings and helping out. So the staff and the mayor, as well as the council support on this, is very beneficial to our proceeding forward. We will, in the near future, have the best little airport in the state of Montana. We're really close right now. So just keep with it. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig. Have a good evening. All right, the building department report is included in the council's packet. We'll move, and we don't have a building official, so we'll move on to finance report. Mr. Underwood.
Finance report today, I included the cash balances of our cash account for October 31st, 2019. Unfortunately, my little thing didn't work very well for you, so I'm going to adjust it really quickly. Sorry about that. I just realized it was on the wrong sheet, so. Thank you.
That's the account name's on the, right next to it, beginning balances for the month. There was a glitch in the system between disbursements and transfers out. We weren't transferring anything out, that's disbursements. And I got to talk to Black Mountain about that, because I just pulled the report, and then you'll see our ending balances. We'll do the accounts here. Any questions on these accounts?
That's a question.
Yeah.
Can you answer why your ambulance is $7,000 in the hole?
That, one of the things we haven't done is pull the books for last fiscal year, and we're going to talk about that. But that was from, it was budgeted last year that the ambulance would do some work to generate some income, and that did not happen, and so we still had expenses. So closing the books, we're going to have to take some out of the general fund to cover that, and we adjusted expectation of what the ambulance is going to do this year, so we won't be in that same boat.
Okay.
Any other questions on these accounts?
From council. All right.
I'll ask some questions when we get into the budget portion. It's not now.
Okay. Now, what I did for Councilmember Gibson, he asked me to, I try to do with this slide here, is give for the 2019-20 budget the cash on hand, the proposed, the revenues that we're going to receive, and the expenditures, and then capital expenditures, which give us the ending cash at the end. And you can see on the far right, there's the difference if what we're going down, what we're going up. If it's, you know, if there's a plus or a negative, that's the difference. And that went out until last week. And we'll talk about this during the budget session. And I just highlighted the numbers where those are the numbers we were using for some of the calculations on the rates right off our budget.
Okay, just Robert, let me. So, this didn't change from previous?
It.
For example, the water and sewer, because we had those numbers.
Today, for what we did was we lowered the OMM down from what we adjusted the budgets a little bit, so the numbers went down. And that's what you saw when Dan Kramer gave his figures in there.
Okay, but what you presented before, for example, on the water bond was $431,000, and now you're showing $327,000?
No, that's the that's what's in the fund right now.
Okay, because
what happened is
sewer rates you showed $455,000 before.
Yes, and that's after I went in and adjusted the payments that we paid out for the last few months. So this is up to date, and then we'll continue.
So there's still $1.2
million. Yes.
Okay,
thanks. And that covers all the reserve restrictions and stuff we have for our bond payment that we have to maintain, and we'll talk about that later on. This slide right here talked about the budget process. We've heard from people across the room that we've not spent a lot of time on the budget, but actually the budget process started in April. And here's all the steps that we've gone through. This is long before I even got here. Actually, the proposed budget was about 98% done before I even got on the job. So that's been waiting for a while. So it's not a lack of people haven't worked on the budget. It's just a lot of things that happened in this town. Some of the stuff that's the dynamics of the town has caused it to delay a little bit. But here's this was proposed back in I believe April, and they follow these dates here, and it's where we're at right now. So this has been a long process, and a lot of people looked at it.
So Robert, the first time the council was presented the budget was August 28th, I believe. We could have done it. We had a meeting August 12th, and we didn't do it. It was an ad hoc meeting.
Yeah.
So the first that it was presented to the council was August 28th. This council, correct?
28th. Yep. And that's what that reflects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but we could have done it earlier.
Okay. We're not taking questions from the public. You can address those under public comment, but this is administrative reports just for council to hear from department heads.
Okay, and one of the comments I heard about earlier on was the allocations of pay between the water funds and the other funds, the enterprise funds. And here's the allocations right now. We have, in the office here, in the main office here. And the reason why these allocations are here is the enterprise funds must sustain themselves. So anything that goes in to maintain that fund or work for that fund has got to pay for that activity.
I guess I'll just, I have a question right now. Maybe save some time.
Okay.
So what you presented on August 28th under personal services, under water, to pay for salaries was $126,811, and out of sewer was $125,860. So obviously this doesn't cover all the salaries that are being paid out.
No. This is the breakup. Obviously the people who work in public works,
Well, but there's other people. I mean, that doesn't come to $252,000.
No, his intent here was to show that this is the administrative personnel that are covered under the office. The public works staff that work out in the field are obviously solely dedicated to those funds.
But that still wouldn't come close to $252,000.
No, but remember, we adjusted a number of the percentages based on the council's actions throughout the budget process.
So you will give us what you're taking out of there now?
Yes, we can run that report and tell you what the costs are.
Because do you have that now? Is that going to be part of the water sewer?
Not at my fingertips.
That's going to back up the budget a little bit.
We'll get it.
Okay.
So the point of this slide is so the people who work in them funds, so if I do work, paid a bill, for example, private claims, that's, for me, that's 50% of my time is working with them funds. So my salary comes out of that funds. And that's the way it works.
Again, we'll just need to know if it's still $252,000,
right,
or less.
Okay. So the next one I do have an alibi. Sorry about it. It has to do with the audit. We sent out an RFP, put in a paper, sent it to some auditors, and got zero response for our audit. We have a couple courses of action. One, we could retry it and send it out again, which is your being close to the time.
But your August 28th.
Our course action number two could be that we hire a third party to come in, close the books, like Councilmember Holcomb mentioned, and then audit or. We're audited. It would still be audited the 3.5 months, the 2.5 months left of this fiscal year. That would save money, and we'd get something out of it. And of course, we bring that, the person we pick would be, you guys would pick who it is. We'd find it. We'd have to go hunt them up and see if they would come in and do that for us. But there's only 25 auditors on the roster in the state of Montana, and two of them aren't getting off the roster right now, so it's hard to find government auditor, yes.
So I thought you only put this in the Bitter and the Star?
Yeah, I sent it out to others, yeah. And that's
you put it in like the Missoulian?
No. I
thought that's
out
what we talked about, like the lead newspapers.
Yeah, well, and that's you paid the bill for what we did already.
But the Bitter and the Star, there's not going to be it. And I also thought you were going to contact the League of the Town.
That's where I got the auditor from. Right. Okay.
So you're only going to advertise in the Bitter and the Star?
We can advertise all over Montana if we want. What I was told by the Montana League of Towns is you really have to go out and really try to find an auditor. And if you're trying to get one right now, it ain't going to happen. If you're trying to change your auditor for next year, that may not happen. Because there's only 25 in the state for all the entities.
And so I'm not saying not to advertise in a Bitter and Star, but I doubt there's many auditor.
I agree. That's why I did my own research on it, and it comes out to the point. It might be better if we hire somebody who does annual financial reports, government reports to come in here and do the same thing.
It's
just as qualified that the town is still comfortable doing. And I think that would be a waste of it. So those are really important.
Why didn't we put it out on the website at Montana Leaks? And
so you've changed it to
because there was it wasn't put out on their website for any for.
So you got plenty of money for the 3%.
That would be, I didn't know that was possible.
Okay.
Yep.
See what I'm saying?
And I just talked to them. For the time frame we're looking at, if we take course action number two, we could be done by the end of this year. If we get the right person, if we take course action number three. We're still looking next time, unfortunately.
Well, we would like to have something done.
Yeah, that's why I haven't asked that we wanted to do whatever needs to be done. I'm just trying to find someone to do it is the key. I have a few names that would if people gave me that could possibly do it. One of them is an auditor. It would be done under an agreement. It's just not a formal audit, but an agreement of procedures to come in here and do the procedures for us. If we want that.
How does the council feel about that?
Well, if you didn't get anybody to respond, I mean, I'm good with option two, but I think just to have everything covered, we need to get someone in here, and I want someone that's qualified.
Yeah,
I just don't want anybody off the street coming in here.
They wouldn't be able to. You have okay. to be somebody that's government or government okay. financials.
Yes. Course of action number two would be
perfect. Works good for me, too.
All right. Any further, Robert? Does that conclude your report? All right.
But just so you know, just so you know, you can put things on the website at Montana Leagues for jobs.
Right, okay.
Okay, concludes the finance report. Moving right along to the fire report, Chief Motley.
The activity report is in your packet. So if there are any questions there, I'll be able to address those and talk to that. Other things going on within the department, the town association board moved and approved and has purchased an extractor, which is a commercial washing machine for simplicity of terms, basically, is that we can use to clean all of our PPE or turnout gear or bunker gear. And it is such a capacity that it does extract all the different carcinogens and things out of fabric and the materials of our PPE. So they have funded that, they bought that, and they have funded the installation of that. So that will get started probably yet this month, maybe even this coming weekend on that. It's very simple and straightforward to get it put into the system that we have next door. So that's in place, and that's a big step. I mean, each set of gear is about $4,000 now, so we need to try and get the best life we can out of those, and the best way to do it is to keep them good and clean. One, and the other side of that, then we're reducing the carcinogens that our volunteers are exposed to. So that's a very big win for the town and the community to have a piece of equipment like that. I think that project was funded to the tune of about $15,000. So the association stepped up and took care of the department that way. Also, we were just able to get some long overdue maintenance completed yesterday. Our mechanic, Sean, had a death in the family and took him out of action for several weeks. And so we had this huge backlog that he was trying to get caught up and pump testing and what have you. So anyway, he was able to get some long overdue needed maintenance done on both of our primary engines, both snip and snap. So they'll be ready to go. The big deal that we did get done, that we had to have some other chains on the engine. So we actually get back into the hall with the ramp on it. So we got that done, and that was a big safety deal to get that one done. You'll see those bills coming through. I understand we don't have a budget this year yet. Those are all things that were in last year's budget. I understand we've gone past that January or July deadline thing, but as safety deal, we had to get that done. So we moved forward and we got that done. We've also been contacted by the high school to hopefully do a field burn for them yet this fall. That's all weather dependent. They want to get the vegetation off of the field so they can get the dirt work done so they can move forward on their building project, coming up where the bus barn is going to be, and some of those sewage fields or whatever. But they need to get the vegetation that's about 2 feet high off of that so they can get a turn and get into the soil. So we're trying to get that accomplished. Again, that's weather dependent. Other than that, we're just moving right along. We did have a very good October fire prevention week and training up at school for the kids. It's an annual event that we do. That went over very well and well received. Pretty much business as usual. Is there any questions?
Any questions from council for fire chief? Okay. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Police, Chief Marlowe.
So we'll jump forward to statistics to start. For October 2019, 81 calls for service from the first of the year, 678, ranging from disorderlies, general disturbances, domestic violence, traffic, and animalism, 911 hangout calls. So we did coffee with a cop a little bit different for October. We did the trunk or treat with, and Mr. Janelle put that together, did an excellent job on that. Appreciate that. She actually ran it. Excuse me, while Officer Tenny Antoni and I patrolled while the kids were trick-or-treating. So she did a great job there. It was about 250 kids took part in that, and that was an excellent turnout. Pretty much nothing left at the end. The Reserve Association donated the funding to purchase the candy, which was great for them to do that. We did do a conditional offer of employment to replace the school resource officer, and I'm hoping that we can expedite that process a little bit and get him to work before mid-December, but there's a lot of things that have to be done in that process in order to get to that point. So we're working on that. We did put together a request, and it's not on the agenda yet, but it will be, to surplus two of the vehicles. We're hoping that we can sell them as police vehicles, because I think we'll get more money out of them that way than stripping them all the equipment. There's possibly other law enforcement agencies throughout the state that might be interested. So we'll try that first. If that's not going to work, we'll strip the equipment and go that route. But that's another discussion for another time when that comes up. And lastly, you asked me to address the issue with cameras, microphones, and stuff for the meeting. And I dove into that, and wow, it's a rabbit hole. So I realized quickly that I was not the expert for that one. I reached out to a local audio-visual guy here in town and asked him for a quote. He should have that quote available next week. So next council meeting, I should have that information available for you, and we can look at if we want to go that direction. Any questions or anything?
Questions from the council.
Can you tell me how much the law enforcement vehicles might bring in as law enforcement vehicles or as opposed to non-law enforcement vehicles?
Generally,
just an estimation.
In the past, and I think it's kind of an explanation type thing. In the past, particularly with the Crown Victorias, when we put those through public auction, we don't get hardly any money out of them. It ranges from $250 to $500. Very, very little. With the equipment on them, ready to go as police vehicles, I'm hoping that we can get anywhere from $1,000 to $2,000 Crown Vic. The Chargers will get a little bit more money. They do need some work, and obviously we'll disclose that, so that might lower that a little bit. But on average, I would say that we would get probably, percentage-wise, I'm going to estimate 200% versus, you know, what the actual value of the vehicle stripped would be at 100%. I think we can anticipate doubling that, hopefully. The equipment has value, definitely, and especially if the department doesn't have to outfit the vehicle, they can just use it.
So. Thank you.
Ms. Huckman.
I was going to ask about the cameras with this. Aren't they pretty much new? Are they still in warranty?
The That, the camera, you mean for the live stream?
Is that what we're talking about, is the live streaming?
Yes, and it's not necessarily, the live streaming issue isn't necessarily an issue of the camera or the equipment so much as we're having issues with our internet service and our internal network. And so our IT folks will look at that. But we've also been requested to look at audio solutions for this room given the acoustics.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions for the chief from council? Okay, thank you. Okay, Public Works will give their report next. Mr. Thomas.
So, a year ago we hired an engineer to help us with mapping of our system, and I've been working with him, Jeff's been working with him at different times getting part of that done, so that's the GPS mapping. We're mapping the curb boxes. And finding some that I never knew were there, but it's been fun. We've been doing, our meter repairs as they come up. We've been having 20 to 30 a month because the batteries and the units are dying. They're at that age now, so we're repairing those. Got our state reports done. And we pumped 25 million gallons this last month in October. We're seeing now that the water levels, the water usage is going down just because of no more watering of lawns and stuff like that. The treatment plant treated 5,728,000. State and EPA reports done there. And also one of the things we did is we worked with one of the local farmers and dispersed some of our sludge on the property for fertilizer. And we jetted the manhole 90 to 97, and I got pictures here I want you folks to look at. Normally you jet going upstream and you camera coming downstream. We could not camera coming downstream. If you look at those pictures, you'll see that there's roots. Some of those roots were actually in the coming around the sewer main where the joints are, and there were several of them where the roots were coming through from service lines. So anyway, we had to take the camera and go upstream. Fortunately, it was in a housing area where people aren't there during the day and we could see really well. That first picture that he's looking at now, we couldn't get the camera past that. So that's why we ended up having to go upstream. This is part of the infrastructure that needs to be worked on. And I'm against changing our fees because we need to fix these things, same with the water system. One of those, we had a lady that had been backed up for a weekend, and after we went through, we could not clear her. It was her line. She had a guy come in, and he had to use a 2-inch cutter, a 3-inch cutter, and a 4-inch cutter before he got it cleared. And then he cambered it, and you could see where the roots were coming in were just before our main. So it was hers. It was not ours. But we worked with her and helped her, and we got a guy that knew what to do and stuff. So that's all I got on that part. Streets, we did some patching. We had a water leak repair down on Riverside that we actually had to wait a while for the ground to set back up before we could patch it. And after we got enough patch to fill some more potholes, we sanded the streets one day because of the icy roads. Took the sander back off. We'll be getting it ready to go back on next week, possibly. The pool was closed and winterized. We added some wood chips to the playground, and we got the bathrooms winterized for this year. So, any other questions?
We'll scan those images into the council packet so that folks can view those online in part of tonight's packet.
Yeah. Okay.
Those of you who are dying to know what your sewer line looks like. All right. Are there any questions for George from Public Works?
Would it help if I poured Roundup down my toilet?
Discouraged. Kidding. All right. We don't have any guests to recognize this evening, so we'll move over to correspondence. We have a letter from the River Valley County Attorney regarding an ethics complaint. It's addressed to Mr. Bob Michelson and copied to the mayor's office and Scott Owens, the city's attorney, and the Stevensville Town Council. It's dated November 1st, 2019. It reads, Dear Mr. Michelson, I received your May 29th, 2019 email notifying me of what you believe to be an ethics violation by Mayor Brandon Dewey. Pursuant to Section 2-2-144 of MCA, Upon being notified, I am to determine the validity of the complaint and determine if the complaint is justified. Section 2-2-144, subsections 1 through 2 of MCA. As summarized below, I find that your complaint is not valid. Your complaint alleges that in receiving additional compensation by town council vote at the May 23, 2019 council meeting, Mayor Dewey clearly breaks MCA 2-2-104 rules of conduct, and that the mayor cannot hold two separate jobs at once. Section 2-2-104 provides, in part, that a public officer, legislature, or public employee may not receive salaries from two separate public employment positions that overlap for the hours being compensated. And Section 2-2-104, subsection 3A, MCA. The town council action taken on May 23, 2019 did not create a violation of this statute. A review of the recorded meeting shows that Councilperson Holcomb's motion was that we give our mayor a temporary compensation of $25 an hour for administration during the finance officer and town clerk recruitment, hiring, and onboarding, and not to exceed 30 hours a week. That motion failed, but then passed on reconsideration without any amendment or revision. The town council authorized a temporary increase in the mayor's compensation, but did not create a situation when Mayor Dewey received salaries from two separate public employment positions in violation of Section 2-2-104, subsection 3A, MCA. Likewise, this action did not cause the mayor to hold two separate positions in violation of the doctrine of incompatible offices. Therefore, I do not find that the complaint is justified and decline to file an action alleging an ethics violation. Because I decline to file a complaint, please be advised that by statute, you, as the person alleging a violation of this part, may file a civil action in district court seeking a civil fine of not less than $50 or more than $1,000. In an action filed under this subsection, the court may assess the costs and attorney fees against the person bringing the charges if the court determines that a violation did not occur, or against the officer or employee if the court determines that a violation did occur. The court may impose sanctions if the court determines that the action was frivolous or intended for harassment, cited Section 2-2-144, subsection 3 of MCA. Sincerely, Bill Fulbright. That concludes the correspondence on the agenda. Mr. Gibson.
I just have a question. Again, three of the four of us weren't here, and I've heard a lot about moving forward. I just don't even know why you read this, but that's up to you. But I just don't see the relevance at this time. This was before three of us were even here. But anyway,
it wasn't placed for consideration or anything like that. It was received in the mail to address to the Stevensville Town Council, and so it was placed in correspondence.
I didn't get any address to me.
It was one letter sent to the clerk's office. But anyway, this is how we would disperse that correspondence. All right, we'll move on to public comment. It's an opportunity to speak on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. If you're speaking to an item that's on the agenda, you can speak now, or you can speak under that item when we call for public comment for that before that decision happens. Please state your name and address for the record and sign the sign-in sheet provided at the podium.
My name is Tony Norman. I live at 303 Syringa, Creekside Meadows. I know that times are tough with the city, and you're trying to pick up a little extra money wherever you can, but on our tax statements, property tax statements for the year 2020, we noticed in our lighting district, you doubled the amount. And we're wondering how that's possible. Is electricity went up that much?
We can address that under the budget discussion.
I'm going to address it after, when we start the budget.
Yeah. So just to clarify, public comment, we don't create a dialogue, we just hear your comment.
But it will be.
Thank you.
It will be addressed.
You're welcome. Any further comment? Ms. Barker. Oh, excuse me.
I'm reading this letter on behalf of Desiree Cody, who could not be in attendance to this meeting. To whom it may concern, my name is Desiree Cody. I live in Stevensville for the past 6 years. I grew up in Florence and Frenchtown, and I asked Stacy Barker to read this letter for me because I work my schedule. Because my work schedule does not allow me to go to the meetings. That being said, I have been a single parent for the last 15 years. I work two jobs and pay rent and basic family needs. I still require state assistance to supplement. I'm telling you this because I have the needed help from the Montana of Housing. Because of my experiences, I am 100% against the Missoula Housing Authority low-income policies for Stevensville. They rarely based their rent prices on actual affordable living. Typically in Missoula, their income-based housing is only allowing people to move in and make certain amounts a year. Typically, there's an income cap. For example, family of three cannot exceed a yearly gross income of, say, $20,000. Not a real number, as this changes based on the cost of living. However, they still change the market rate for these apartments. They consider this low income. It is very rare, years on waiting list, to find an income-based housing that is a percent of my income. Typically, rent should never go or be above more than 40% of your income. We all know that this is happening in Valley County in Missoula and is most likely 60 to 80% of our income. Also, there is a typical no oversight of care of these properties or even the people in them. Like any state assistance, if your income increases even a few dollars over the allotted yearly income required, they kick the tenants out to fill the spot for another person. Without care, if this person is able to come up with another deposit or even higher rent, and if they find any reason to keep their deposit, they force the person to not take a better job or even make more hours or even risk losing the rentals. Another issue is selling of these properties. After the tax commitment to the state fulfilled, they sell these properties, typically to the property management company, outside state entities, who then jacks up the rent to weed out the undesirables, to make it a quick buck. This may take 10 years, 15 years, but it will happen. And the final issue is we need to all be wary of what happens to the private landlords who see these rents of these Missoula Housing Authorities set for these apartments and decide that it is what Missoula considers affordable. I can raise my rent, it can raise my rent as well. Soon all the rentals will be so high as Missoula and pay will continue to be stagnant. I moved here from a small chance to get ahead of things. This scares me. My family and I already struggle, but we make it and we keep on smiling on our face, keep the smiles on our faces. I don't want to be homeless because of the rent increases. My questions are, who will step in and oversee these apartments stay affordable and maintained? How will they be affordable? What scales will they use? Will this be an income cap or a percentage? Will this take on into consideration the low payment and high cost of living in our country? Will they research and pay in all areas of all of it, not just a small percentage of trade jobs? Or will there be exactly like Missoula's policies? How will these policies affect the private landlord rents? I urge you to take action before any situation of these rentals arise. Set policies, ask questions. Do not allow the rent to become even more out of control than it is already. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. I apologize my lack of presence. Desiree Cody. Just to kind of elaborate on this, this is the housing that was actually on the news last night, the 16 units that they're proposing to put behind Ace Hardware. It is, again, it's a swampy area. It's zoned into R2, which should come in front of council for approval and many, many public hearings. I urge the council to please look into these descriptions of this and take a hard look at what you're wanting to bring to Stevensville. Thank you.
Further public comment? Mr. Michelson.
Bob Michelson, 222 Turner Street. I would like the council and the mayor tonight to follow council rules and One agenda item on there is, has to do with Councilmember Vic's climate change. I believe you cannot go from council comments to unfinished business. So I've asked the council, the mayor, to strike that tonight and go through the proper channels. Thank you.
The public comment, Ms. Lowell.
Nancy Gold to 11 Church, and this would be regarding the finance stuff and where the salaries are coming, the accounts that the salaries are coming from. I noticed that, like, the mayor has 20% out of water and sewer, the finance officer has 50, and I'm not, what is the duty clerk?
It's supposed to be deputy clerk.
Oh.
Which would be the utility billing clerk.
Okay. It just seems to me that the way I was taught, the mayor's salary should come out of general fund. Finance officer, I think 50% out of sewer and water's a bit much because you have a lot of other things to do. And I didn't know if that's because that particular account had money, maybe more than the general fund or whatever. But and if it is the deputy clerk, I think we used to take 50% out of water and sewer because she also does things in the office. But out of just these three accounts or three people, that's 160% out of water and sewer, and I think that's a little bit much. So, and the enterprise funds are a fee for service account, a revolving fund that does, you know, regenerate, and they can live off the expenditures and revenues, and it just seemed to me that that is a bit much. So
I want to
bring that up for thought.
Any further public comment? Ms. Motley.
Vicki Motley, 318 9th Street. I was not here for public comment on the water and sewer, as I have parent-teacher conferences. I think if you're going to do anything, I would leave the rates the same. The reason I would leave the rates the same is because there's a lot of issues with the water. And I don't, I mean, you've got water rights issues, you've got, obviously,
reservoir
issues. I mean, there's a lot of things that I just don't want to have you guys come back to us and say, oh, oops, we should have not taken that decrease. We needed that money. I just think you need to live ahead and be progressive in that. I realize that everything is going up, but I just think you have to look at what's coming up in the future.
Any further public comment? Anybody in the hallway? Okay. All right, we'll move on to unfinished business, discussion decision on resolution 449, adopting the final budget for fiscal year 2020. Mr. Gibson.
Well, this is part of the budget, and a couple of the people, I don't know, some people have called me, some of my neighbors, my constituents, on the lighting district. And this is part of the budget, and I do have some questions. I guess maybe for Robert. On September 5th, this council passed the motion 4-0 to have 0% increases in all the lighting districts. On September 6th, you sent a letter to the county, or Valley County, Regina, and it looks like Lee Dayton was 0. Peterson, I can't tell if theirs went up. George Smith's was 0. Creekside, and again, there were other people and somebody testified, they all doubled. The motion was 4-0 to have a 0%. Originally, you had requested a 3%, but they doubled, and I don't understand how even that, but I would, when you sent the letter to Regina, there was another letter that was a little confusing, too, that was written on September 5th by you and the mayor, said that there was a motion, and a motion was seconded to approve the lighting districts. There was a motion and a second with the 3%, which was rescinded, but actually it was 4-0 to have a 0% increase in the lighting districts. Also, when I looked at the 2018 audit, it talked about there was too much surplus in all these lighting districts and too much reserve. So I guess the question is, was 0% for all the lighting districts sent to the county as the council passed? And if so, how did Creekside residents, taxpayers, theirs double? Mine doubled. I got my tax thing right here. Mine doubled. And again, it's not about whether it's $3 or $4. I don't know what happened here. It was in the minutes. It was in the paper, 4-0, 0% increase in lighting districts. Creekside, I know, doubled.
Okay, the way it worked, and we already presented it to you, the increase had to do on the expenses of the fund. If we don't have a 3% increase on the expenses, or a 0%. We voted for a 0% increase on the expenses. And then you voted for a 25% reserve in the fund at the end of the year.
I don't remember voting for any 25% reserve.
25%.
Show me that in any minutes. I don't remember. Okay. Does any council member remember that?
You have to have a reserve anyway.
But it showed you had a large reserve in 18.
Okay, I'm showing you right here. There was some, yes. And so we spent down on, if you look at Dayton right up there, and this is proposed budget for this year.
Excuse me.
Those funds of 4,891, that is the fund balance at the beginning of the year. Straight down that line, okay? And the costs that you see for proposed expenditures are the electrical costs for those lighting districts. And if you're gonna have a 25% reserve in the end of the year, it's just a mathematical formula. We didn't increase we didn't increase the expenditure for the year. You know, 3%.
But you increase the tax, double the tax. It's on the tax statement.
Once again, that is the cost of the fund, okay? And we went from some of them were over 50%. We went down to 25%. By law, you have to have a reserve. You can't have over 50%. Some of those funds had over 50% of them, and we were drawing them down. So they didn't even get assessed this year. Next year, everybody will be assessed the amount of cost.
So the reason that three or four of the lighting districts had zero, and it looks like, according to Regina, they actually went down with their taxes.
Well, because they had too much in their fund. And what that meant is, somewhere in the past, they were over-collected. We can't move funds between those. Those are funds, okay? So we have to keep that amount in there. One of the things that happened, we just realized, we were under-appropriated the amount of expenditures in last year's budget in all these funds. So the electricity for those funds cost more than we thought it was. And we're going to have to do a budget amendment to fix that before we even close out this year.
So one more question on it. So why did the audit show you were nailed in the audit because you had too big a reserve just a year ago?
So 2018.
Yeah.
And it's there are small funds. They're under $5,000 funds. So when you draw down $3,000, you know, there's not much room for reserves. So if you're over 50%, if you look at that first fund, we were over 50% the year before. Both of those 2 years, they didn't have an assessment on.
So in response to the fiscal year 18 audit, we reduced the assessment in the lighting districts that were found to have too much reserve in the audit. So we reduced that assessment, which spent down the reserve. When we proposed new assessments to the council, we proposed a 3% increase in expenditures and the assessment to cover those costs. The council approved a 0% increase in expenditures and approved the assessment with a 0% expenditure right? Which included a 25% reserve.
There's nothing in the minutes about the 25.
We can do a forensic review of the record.
You could do that.
But we acted on that record, and so the corresponding documentation was sent to the clerk and recorder for their assessments.
Okay, I have one more question on taxes, not on lighting district. And this will go, we'll get into this in the budget, because we never had the opportunity to review the mills. It was on the agenda on the 5th, it was supposed to be on the 12th. I also talked to the clerk, and it was submitted on the 13th, which we never reviewed the mills. So on the tax for the town, under building and improvement for Town of Stevensville, that went up considerably too. Do we know what that is for?
Building and improvements?
Building and improvement. This year is on mine, $2,322. Last year was $1,921.
I don't think that's a Town of Stevensville city tax. I think that's a school tax.
No, the school tax is over here.
So
this is for the Town of Stevensville. Library, lighting, building improvements. The school is all over here. We all know what that went up. And of course, we expected that.
Can we roll this down?
No, it's my tax.
Well, okay, but I'm trying to show you where the city tax is. I mean, I can go online and find it.
Well, then look it up, see what it is.
But that building improvements, that's not a town tax.
I was told it was because it's over that part. This is all town right here.
No, it's not.
This is all Ravalli County here.
These are the only things that the city taxes for. That's where you pay taxes. Okay. You pay.
All right.
The town of Stevensville and the lighting district.
Right.
The building improvements is likely another issue.
Well, again, I would like you to look into that as to what was voted on.
And to clarify, the mills were included in the preliminary proposed budget. When the budget was proposed to council on August 22nd,
it was a number.
The mayor, mills,
please.
The mills were included in that.
It was on the September 5th agenda. You took it off the agenda so the public needed to know, requested it be on the 12th, and you didn't put it on the 12th. And we had a letter from the treasurer, we had letters from Regina that said we need this by the 13th. We never discussed the minutes. All the minutes.
Right. Before you is Resolution 449, which formalizes the approval of the mills and adopts the fiscal year budget.
Well, I have some. So on these other things, though, for the light mayor,
yep.
The resolution on the 3% is going to impact the budget. There's other things on this agenda after the budget that could impact the budget. We can't totally do the budget right now until we do go through some of those things. These could impact the budget.
They're going to impact. I mean, what you're approving in the budget is the expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you'd like to table this to the end of the meeting, you can do that once you.
Well, I guess I would leave it up to everybody else, but obviously, we're going to have a talk about the resolution on decreasing rates for water and sewer. That would impact the budget. And I have some motions to take care of that decrease. I don't know if the climate change impacts the budget or not, but I do know that the water and the sewer could. But right now, I would make a motion on the resolution. Is the resolution up there?
Resolution 449. Can you pull the resolution up, please, Monica?
I think we have it, but I don't know what it is.
You're looking for that. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Where did we pull $250,000 for a land improvement or for the
water fund?
And that doesn't affect the bond?
No. Not unless you want to bond. I mean, it's not unless you want to take a bond out to pay for the property.
So would the salaries? It looks like it's gone down. Would that affect the bond? Because you sent a letter on October 3rd, an email, It's that any use that would deplete the water and sewer fees needs to be reported to the bond people. So when you proposed the $252,000 salaries, was that reported to the bond people?
What the bond requires is that any reduction in fee.
That is what your letter says. I can find that later. I have it here.
Any reduction in revenue, that may have been the word I used, any reduction in revenue.
Well, if you want to pull up the resolution, you can find that.
Resolution should follow that communication. Keep going.
If you could just pull it up.
Okay, so the resolution is pulled up.
Okay, go to the part where it says, where we do adopt the mill levies, the council. Slide up to that.
See the bottom of the first page.
As to my previous comments on this and in the previous minutes, the council was never allowed to review the mills. It was requested by the treasurer that we review the mills. It was requested by Regina that we review the mills. We never had that opportunity. It was taken off the agenda. It was not put on the agenda. So therefore, I want to strike the language that the town council approves mills. Because you also had correspondence to the treasurer before. They said the town council didn't have to have a resolution to approve the mills. So my motion is to strike that the council is not going to approve the mills. They've already been submitted. But we didn't approve them. We didn't even see them.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Gibson and seconded by Mr. Vick to strike the language regarding a mill levy in the resolution. Council discussion.
From my understanding, the mills were presented to us as part of the budget to approve.
Correct.
Correct.
The reason this language is in this resolution is because we pulled that in from every other resolution we've adopted, adopting the budget. Mm-hmm. So we went back and looked. There was only one year where we separately did a resolution for mills, but for every other year, mm-hmm. the mills were submitted to the county and then included in a budget adoption resolution. So we followed that practice for consistency. Yes.
But the fact is, this year we're not, because we should have had the opportunity to go through the mills. Mills are pretty complicated. You have, and our mills went down. Some of that's good, but the values go up. And if we would have the opportunity to review those, we could have made some decisions to benefit the taxpayer of Stevensville. We did not have that opportunity. And I don't know how anybody could have voted for anything to approve something we never saw. So that's my motion.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on striking the language?
What are the repercussions from striking the language?
I don't know. Is the boogeyman going to come out? I mean,
I'm going to have to look into this, and then we'll get back to the council.
I don't think that there's any. I mean, I don't know of anything that is going to happen.
And I don't have any off the hip legal advice on the issue right now, so I'll look into it.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further council discussion? Any public comment on the motion to strike the language? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Sherrod.
No.
Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
All right, motion passes 3-1. How would council like to proceed with budget adoption?
Again, Mayor, I would really like to wait till we get into the resolution on the decrease in the rates, because I'll have some motions to take care, hopefully, of some of the people's concerns that were expressed.
Okay.
And it is a budget item, obviously.
Okay, so to facilitate that, we can push this item to follow or push pause on the discussion on this item to follow up after you've made whatever motions or discussions after the water rate discussion. That sounds like that's the primary issue. and reconsider the amended resolution following that.
That's fine.
Okay, is that acceptable, Ms. Holcomb?
Well, I was just going to say I make a motion that we suspend council, the council rules and bring that down to under new business item E.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Gibson to suspend council rules and move budget adoption down to follow new business item E. Further discussion? Public comment. Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Schur.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick, or Gibson, excuse
aye.
Me. All right, we'll move on then to unfinished item B, discussion decision confirming a special audit from May 2019 through July 2019. Mr. Underwood reported on this in his administrative report. This would be an opportunity if council would like to ratify in an official way their decision. They certainly can. Otherwise, the council will take the direction given in the administrative report that will proceed with a qualified third party to review the books, help close out, and hopefully have a finding of some kind back to the council by the end of the year.
I'll make a motion that we go with what Robert suggested with having a third-party CPA coming in and doing the audit for us.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick and seconded by Ms. Holcomb. Take the pre-mentioned action. Council discussion. Public comment. All right, moving right along then, we'll call for the vote. Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
Councilmember Schur?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
And Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Great. We'll undertake that forthwith. Unfinished business item C is discussion decision on the Climate Action Advisory Board. This item was placed on the agenda by the mayor in response to Mr. Vick's council comments, where he asked that some action be taken on the subject, and he wanted that done before the 31st of December. Given that there were only a couple meetings scheduled between then and that deadline, we placed this item on the agenda administratively to give the council a chance to formulate how they'd like to best proceed in a certain direction.
I'll make a motion that we open discussion on it.
I'll second the discussion.
All right.
All right. It's been moved by Mr. Vick and seconded by Mr. Gibson to discuss Climate Action Advisory Board. Council discussion on the discussion. Mr. Sheward.
Can you remind me of the individuals you would like to see participating in this board?
Especially since I kind of got misquoted a little bit in the paper. Member of the school board, member of the council, a physician, which is not inclusive to only MD or DO. Member of the general public, business owner, and a member of Greater Stevensville, which would be what I call the rural district.
Did you have there was an involvement in the university. Was there somebody from the university you wanted to have participating in this?
No, but if honestly, if we wanted to seek some outside assistance, we could. I've got connections there, so. But,
so maybe, and I'll just have a couple of questions for you. I'm sure you'll cover those.
Go ahead.
And this has nothing to do with whether you believe in climate change or you don't.
Right.
All of my concern is, and maybe you'll go through, I don't want this to cost the town any money. I don't want staff to have to staff meetings. I don't approve of paying out of the town. So again, I'm not, this is not about whether you believe in climate change
right.
or not believe in climate change.
Correct.
So hopefully you will address that, because I will not, and again, it's not the concept, but I will not support anything at this point that costs the town of Stevensville money.
Correct. My ideas on this, obviously, the first step is to, you know, kind of address the issue, whether or not you believe in it. There are plenty of people that do believe in it that are going, we'll eventually have what's known as climate refugees coming from southern states and whatnot moving here. And I really want to, you know, kind of approach a large population growth within the next 20, 30 years, go ahead and start heading it off now instead of waiting 20, 30 years down the road when we're busting at the gills with people. And then it also, too, is that something I've also been kind of thinking about, too, is also it being a form of, you know, the reason why I want to include business owners and whatnot is because it can be considered a part of economic development. With the physicians, it's a public health issue. With the school board, it would be an issue with the school needing to expand as well. And then, obviously, we need to have the general public involved as well because everybody deserves to have a voice in this opinion or in this matter. And that's my 2 cents, really, on that. And I want it to actually, I do really want it to be a purely volunteer board. I don't want people to be there just because they got appointed to it or just because they think they have to be there. Purely volunteer to where if you're going to be there, it's because you want to be there.
Mr. Gibson?
Who would appoint those people?
I believe that it would be in the best interest. When it comes to the school board and whatnot, allowing the school board to appoint their representative, everyone else would go through the council. The current sitting council. Yeah.
My recommendation would be if the council wants to move forward in some direction on this and establishing an advisory board to the town, that a resolution or ordinance be drafted. If it's a temporary type of setup, then maybe a resolution is more appropriate, but if you're going to set a permanent fixture to the town, ordinance would likely be in order that outlines what this board does, who it consists of, what authority they may or may not have, certainly to address Mr. Gibson's concerns is appropriations and expenditures that they may have as resources or not have. To speak to your concern, the administration has not included any funding in the fiscal year proposed budget for this endeavor. So that would be the administration's recommendation. However, if Mr. Vick wants to draft that language or if he's asking the administration to, we just need to know that direction.
So Mayor, what you're saying is that for Councilperson Vick, then you would draft some language that you could have a resolution or go right through that on the 12th?
Yes.
Because we're not in place to do that.
Right. Now, I'll definitely have something drafted up and turned into the packet for the meeting on the 12th of December.
I just hope I can play golf in January.
You're right, Matty. Running out of time.
With snowballs.
All right. Is that acceptable with the council? Is there any input as to what Mr. Vick should include in that resolution before he brings it forward? Or would you like him just to throw caution to the wind and see what happens?
Yes.
Okay. With that, we have a motion on the floor still to discuss this, although I've allowed you to discuss it anyway, because that's just how it works. So nonetheless,
sure,
we'll...
Second. Yeah, I thought he did.
It's been seconded, but we have to vote
right
on it.
I know.
So is there any public comment on the matter? I figured you were all here for this. All right, with that, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
Councilmember Sheward.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
All right, moving on to new business, item A, discussion decision, land lease for lot 5, block 5 of the Stevensville Airport. Communications in your packet regarding the land lease as well as the lease included in your packet. Ministerial Act, Airport Board recommends approval of the lease. Ms. Holcomb?
I move that we approve Stevensville Airport land lease lot 5, block 5.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Sheward, to approve Stevensville Airport land lease lot number 5, block number 5. Council discussion. Public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Sheward?
Aye.
Great. New business item B, discussion decision, land lease for lot 6 block and 7, of block 1 of the Stevensville Airport. Ms. Holcomb?
I move that we approve Stevensville Airport land lease lot number 6 and 7, block 1.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Vick, to approve Stevensville Airport land lease lot 6 and 7, block number 1. Council discussion. Public comment.
Hopefully it doesn't say what the lease amount is, and if it's been an improvement over what the past.
The lease amount is 2 cents a square foot, and it's not changed. That lease rate has been in place since 1994-ish.
Was there anything else that's going to happen? They haven't gone that as well.
The airport board hasn't recommended that change, but based on their last meeting, that may happen. Any further public comment on the lease? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Short?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
All right. New business item C is discussion and decision, liquor license ownership transfer from Ruth Carmona to Rob Rawls, location 201 Main Street. As the council communication in your packet outlines, municipal code requires that the town council approve transfer of liquor licenses within the municipality. And so this one has come before us by application, which is included in your packet and is subject to your approval tonight.
Well, they've already had the liquor license approved by the state, and they're open.
Correct. They were given. To clarify, the liquor license transfer has been approved by the Department of Revenue. It's still subject to the town's approval. So, if the town did not approve it, Department of Revenue would pull it. And we issued them so that they could open. And it was an existing license. We issued them a provisional license, which would be withdrawn today or tonight if the council denied transfer. Mind you, this is a code that was written in 1973. Liquor law was much different then. Mr. Short?
I make a motion to approve the liquor license ownership transfer from Ruth Carmona to Rob Rails at 201 Main Street.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved by Mr. Sheward and seconded by Mr. Vick to approve liquor license ownership transfer from Ruth Carmona to Rob Rawls at 201 Main Street. Council discussion? Public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Sheward?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. All right, you have before you now new business item D. Discussion decision on resolution number 451, a resolution decreasing rates for users of the municipal water system. Just real quick, so I can preface.
I just have a question.
Okay. Sorry. Well, and maybe he can explain the request from USDA on action on this matter, but go ahead.
So, Scott, you were going to get back to me. We're still waiting to hear from the bonding people. So, should we do this now? Or should we wait till the 12th? But it is part of the budget. I mean, I'm prepared to make the resolution to take the vote, but.
I think the problem that you're gonna come into is if we hear back from Mr. Trundle from the mm-hmm. USDA, and they say that this is not allowable, and mm-hmm. we can't do it.
Which I think it is.
Violation, but, yeah. Then we have a big issue.
So should we wait till the 12th?
So we've had the public hearing. The vote, I think, could be tabled. I think that would be wise.
So, or are we going to have a meeting on the 19th on this land thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Could we put this and try to finalize the budget then?
Yes.
Okay.
And on the budget reflects a reduction in the rate.
Mm-hmm.
So if you approve the budget and it turns out you don't change the rates, that's okay.
Now, what I'm going to propose as part of the budget is how we... As the concerns came up about, you know, I mean, personally, I don't think there would be any reason for a big increase, and I think it would be unethical for the amount of money we have and the new users, and we've gone through this over and over and over and over again, how much money is in there, $1.2 million. So part of that would be part of the budget to move. I will have proposals to move certain parts of money to to offset the decrease. So there would be no issue that would stay the same. It would stay, actually there might be more money than you would have had with a 3% increase. So that's why it's part of the budget.
What money are you planning to move?
Well, I'll do that when I do the motions. So my question is, we wait till the 19th and try to finalize the budget then along with this, then that's fine with me.
I think we have an additional comment, because since I started discussion with Steve.
Steve got a hold of me.
Excuse me?
Steve Tuttle got a hold of me right after got a hold of him.
Gentlemen.
He wanted to make sure and give some information about this. They did put us in monetary default of our loan right now.
Non-monetary default.
Because we owe them some numbers. And we have to give them some numbers of our systems, our reserves, and all of this. And they requested that they would give us the position 30 days after we give them the numbers.
That's Mayor, that's why I'm requesting that we do this on the 19th, because there will be other numbers in the budget that you could give them.
So, Mr. Gibson, I think is what he's saying is those numbers have not gone to the USDA yet.
Right.
That correspondence that I had with the USDA was about 2 weeks ago. But Robert still needs to get numbers to them, and then they need 30 days. So to anticipate doing this on the 19th.
I asked you before, and you thought the 30 days would be before the 19th.
Before learning this, I expected it was 30 days from that email, and they need a tie.
Well, we can do it on the 12th then, too.
And part of that process was having Dan come out here and work on a rate schedule.
We could do it on the 12th.
One of the two things that they did tell us, me up front, is we are going to be audited on our finances in this fund. And on the project itself.
So I suggest we do it on the 12th.
And what he said was, if in fact, if we have the ability to lower our rates, we may have been given too much money. Well, if we've been given too much money, they're going
again,
to take
these
that
are mays, ifs, you know, we're waiting for those answers.
That's what
been waiting
on.
For quite a while. Yep. So I'm trying to be cooperative here. So then I say we do it on the 12th. That's our last meeting.
Okay,
and
so.
Mr. Gibson, sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
And I think that's fine. You put it on there, but once again, if we don't have the answer back for what we can do, I think that it's.
We can still make
it on the agenda.
We can still make the resolution
the same
later
position,
on.
And we can table it.
Yeah. So I suggest on the 12th we finalize the budget and do the water and sewer, and we'll also have the alley. And so, unless you want to do something else on the 19th besides the land, which is also a budget issue.
I don't know as though we'll have the ability to decide on the water rates on the 19th. That's only Tuesday, and there's no way that USDA is going to turn the... Even if we got the information to USDA tomorrow, they're not going to turn it around by Tuesday.
So, okay. So then, back to the land issue, as Councilperson Holcomb brought up earlier, that's a budget issue, too. So I think we do need to wait for the budget till the 12th, because that's a... You're proposing $185,000 purchase out of some fund.
Out of the water fund.
That's a budget issue.
Correct, and it's budgeted for.
So I say we, on the 12th, we do the alley, we do the budget, we do the water, sewer, and I'm also going to have one other small agenda item. So the only meeting we would have then would be the 19th for the land.
Correct.
Okay.
As of today, your schedule appears to be that you'll have a council meeting on the evening of the 19th, and you'll have a council meeting on the evening of December 12th. Those are the only two meetings on the calendar right now. Subject to change, obviously, as things come up.
I have a comment.
Sure.
A statement I would like to make. Since our September 12th town council meeting, in which we reduced water rates, I have an opportunity to visit with two key players in the that have a tremendous amount of knowledge regarding our water system. First, I met with Craig Caparera, correct me if I'm wrong on that one.
Close enough.
Chief Engineer at HDR. He was able to clearly communicate that although we have a large amount of money in our water rate reserve accounts, we also have a tremendous amount of work to do to keep our water system functioning properly. Our Phase 4 water improvement project will cost an estimated $1.3 million, which is to be completed in the fiscal year 2021. This will basically drain a majority of that reserve. Other projects we have, Twin Creeks Well Development, $50,000. Hydrant replacements, $8,652. Valve additions, $3,708. Valve box grade adjustments, $1,545. Leak detections, which came up this evening, $5,150. The projects to be completed in the fiscal year 2021 have a total of $1,418,595. There are projects that have been recommended but not yet approved, but are still considered needed in the future. Those projects alone will cost an estimated $8 million. The second individual I had a chance to speak with is George Thomas, the Public Works Director. It has been my experience that individuals that hold decision-making power bypass the recommendations of individuals working in the field. It is imperative that we consider his voice when making water rate decisions. George communicated to me that without a doubt, the water rates should be kept where they were and allow the 3% increase in November. I believe it is in the best interest in the future of our water system and our town to return the rates to where they were September 12th, prior to the council making the decision, and allow the increase to take place.
Mr. Gibson.
I have a comment on that. And again, we just said that we would discuss this on the 12th. I've talked to George, too. And I would appreciate and respect the opportunity to wait to see what I am proposing. I mean, there's a possibility for another $750,000 that the taxpayer wouldn't have to spend in the year 2021. So I would just respectfully request that we have that discussion as we just agreed on the 12th.
Just to be clear, we haven't agreed on that.
We haven't.
You have. You suggested that.
Oh, okay.
But no one else on the council has said, yes, that works, or no, that doesn't.
I thought we said we were going to have the budget and the water on the 12th.
You said
okay,
that.
All right. So do I need to make a motion to do that?
Got to be a motion.
I make a motion that we have the budget finalization, the water and sewer decrease, and whatever else on the December 12th meeting to give the opportunity, as the attorney said, for the bond people to give back to us.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Mr. Gibson, seconded by Mr. Vick, that the budget and resolutions decreasing water rates be tabled to the December 12th council meeting, allowing USDA a chance to respond to our inquiry. Council discussion.
I don't feel it's necessary. I feel that we could not increase the water rates and move on with the budget this evening.
Okay. Any further discussion? Ms. Holcomb.
I just have a problem that, you know, you're taking $250,000 out of the water, but that's okay. I don't think that's okay.
It's not.
Yes, Mr. Shuri.
It's $185,000, which would create a $65,000 underspending in the budget.
That
and
line
it,
item has $250,000.
That's correct. But the land we're discussing purchasing is $185,000.
Mr. Gibson?
And again, we're going to have that discussion on the 19th. I went to George. And, you know, it just seems like, you know, we've done a lot for the staff. We've given raises. We've given a car. We've given new FTE. And I'd like to see us do something for the taxpayer of Stevensville, Montana. And I went on a trip with George. I didn't know we owned a bunch of other land up there, close to there, that could serve the same purpose, and we already own it. And we also have a gentleman who came here who met with George, who said he was willing to look at doing an easement, willing to give other property at no cost. So, you know, I just hope we can do something for the people of Stevensville, all the people of Stevensville, all the taxpayers. And I've heard $2.67 here, and I've heard $3.20 there. My property tax went up $400 some bucks. And that's because of the school bond. And I voted for the school bond, and my kids are over 30 years old. It's important to this community. But there are people in this town on fixed incomes that every time you turn around, you know, I'll be 68 years next week. My supplemental health insurance went up. All those other things go up. They all go up. And we need to do something for the people of Stevensville, not just special groups, not just individuals. And so far, I don't think we've done anything. I think we could have reduced taxes. I'm not finished. I think we could reduce taxes. And to come up with these things at this point in time, and I don't see why it's unreasonable to do the budget, to do the water and sewer. You know, you've already said you're opposed to it, and you'll have that opportunity if we do the resolution. As a council person, that's up to you. And I guess I'll just end with that.
Okay. Any further discussion on tabling the items to the 12th meeting from council?
I believe protecting our water system is doing something for the town of Stephenville.
Absolutely.
Fair enough. Okay, I'll call for public comment. The motion on the floor is to table this item to December 12th. So with that, I know people had asked questions earlier, and because this is tabled, then, or if it goes through and it is tabled, then we'll bring the answers to those questions to that meeting and be prepared for that. We are prepared to answer them now, and if you individually want to check in with Robert on the answers for that, following the meeting, preferably not tonight. He'd probably like to go home. But down the road, you can do that before the 12th meeting, but we do have the answers for the questions that were asked at the public hearing. So again, public comment on tabling this item, or these items, to December 12th town council meeting. You're in the edge of your chair, Joe. Are you ready?
Well, obviously, I'd really like to hear Mr. Councilman Gibson's private comments about what he says about the water rate. But obviously, wanting to do something for the town of Stephenville, I would go back to an old item I presented a long time ago. You just voted a $20 increase on the honorarium. I, before you were even on the council, had recommended that as a public servant and a public trust of the people of Stephenville, do something honorable. And that would be right. But this time, you could get back to $20 that you appointed yourselves, or you could reduce the rate even further, as I suggested earlier. And that would save some money for the town of Stephenville, since you are working on a public behalf.
Well, I'll comment to that. And actually, what that was, I'm not going to be here.
Yeah, I know.
And I made that motion.
I know.
And the fact is that in 10 years or 12 years, it's never changed from $200. And we made it $225. We gave all the staff a 2% raise. We gave the mayor a raise. You know, it's not that much money, you know.
Okay.
Not that much money.
We'll continue public comment. The item, again, the motion on the floor is to table the item. So let's keep public comment to the whether or not we're going to table. If you're in favor of tabling or not.
You can table the item, but I'm also suggesting that if you're giving yourself an increase as an honorarium as opposed to looking for a job to make a way of life, there's a difference there. Your honorarium supplements your salary.
Okay.
Isn't your salary.
Public comment on the motion.
There was one item mentioned, the alley.
Ms. McCreary, could you state your name and address for the record, please?
I'm Sue McCreary.
Thank you.
I live at 417 Mission Street. And are you postponing deciding on the alley closure? And it will be brought up in December?
Okay. Yep, that's already scheduled for the December 12th agenda. Any further discussion on tabling water rates and budget?
My name is Jean McKinley. I live at 401 Charles Street. And with what was just said about the council giving themselves this raise. There's two of them.
Ms. McKinley, I am going to stop you. We're not discussing. We're not going to discuss the raise any further. Ms. McKinley. What I'm asking, we're asking for public comment on whether or not the items on the agenda should be tabled or not tabled.
Okay, and I will say, as he did, yes, they should be tabled.
Okay,
but
thank you.
These guys did not ask for this raise for themselves. That doesn't start until January 1st.
Point taken. Thank you. Further public comment on tabling the items. All right. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
Councilmember Short.
No.
Okay. Motion passes 3-1. With that, we'll skip right over item E, and we can.
Can we take a little break?
Oh, sure. Let's take a 10-minute break. Okay. We'll reconvene the Stevensville Town Council meeting Thursday, November 14th. Took a 10-minute recess. And we are on new business item F, discussion decision, the Montana Department of Commerce, Montana Main Street Program, application for planning and project grant funding. Ms. Lowy, are you here to present? Okay. Could you introduce yourselves to the council and can take it away?
All right. We have a community that is has an amazing community spirit. We love our events. We love our First Friday, our scarecrows, our Western Heritage Days. It makes us what we are. We also are interested in business promotion of our small businesses. I'm in River's Mist, you know, the more we can do to get some traffic through. So, business promotion. With the closure of Main Street, some of that is in danger. And on the other hand, we have an amazing opportunity. The Department of Commerce, Montana Department of Commerce, is offering $10,000 grants, and we're applying for one. It's due tomorrow, so we need to decide tonight. And the grant is to fund 9 to 12 months worth of effort on the part of the community to figure out how do we keep our community spirit and promote our small business. It gives us an opportunity to reinvent. What we've had has been good, but what we want to put together could be even better. To have more community participation, more business participation, to ask you, what would you like? And how should this proceed, and how should it be funded? Because it hasn't been sustainably funded in the past. So what we're here to ask is your permission to submit this grant. There are no matching funds. It's free money. It's for 9 to 12 months of effort, and 12 people have stepped up to participate. The people that are participating or would like to are owners of businesses on Main Street, Valley Drug, Active Care. They are people who Bear Mountain Playground, Coding for Kids, two people who have recently moved here, and everybody's excited. We have more than 15 letters of support from businesses across Main Street who are saying, yes, please, let's figure this out. So we will pass out these. And the last thing I'd like to say is that when we go through this process, your job as the City Council is to allow us to proceed. And then we would, at the end, come to you with a presentation about what we found. So the final review would be with the city.
I'm Dr. Amy Berglund, Active Care Family Chiropractic. Many hours of volunteer work have been dedicated to developing this proposal that we wish you will endorse and support. The town of Stevensville deserves to be the first best place. We, here in the Bitterroot, have much to offer to those who choose to visit us. Our businesses deserve the support and creative thinking our community to show a welcoming atmosphere to those who visit us, for those who shop with us and support our Stevensville. Let's take this opportunity, a one-time opportunity, to bring these much-needed resources at no cost to us to our town and let our businesses prosper. Again, there are no costs to us. There is no city administrative responsibility or control for this grant, only approving the proposal and receiving the grant funds. The city, as well as the state, will receive the final report of the completed objectives and how the project will move forward. This is an opportunity that few communities have ever seen. So let's all come together for Stevensville and really make this happen for our businesses and our community. That was written by Bob Cummings.
Any questions about, yes?
How much is it?
$10,000.
And is it based, Bob Cummings talked to me, is it basically for research?
This group of people that would look at this issue, would hire experts. There are experts from the state who come in and we need to pay them for the day and their travel. There could be trips to other groups or other places, you know, to pay for travel to just see what other people are doing. It's not to pay the people on the park participating.
So just one more question. You said there's no city administrator. The thing that Mr. Cummings sent me that said that Robert would administer. So that is a city administrator.
Pardon?
Mr. Cummings sent me an email that said that Robert, the finance officer, would administer the grant.
If the money comes to the town.
Right.
So, yes, there's a logistical connection.
But your board would make the decision
yes,
how you spend the money.
Yeah.
Okay. And ultimately, those claims come before council.
Right.
And that's why it needs to be signed.
Yeah. Any further questions from council? Ms. Holcomb?
Yes.
I just have a question. Were these project partners, were they actually contacted and they approved to be partners on this? Because I know one person on here was never, didn't even know about it.
Can you be a little more specific on what you're speaking about?
Well, you have project partners.
Okay.
And one, and I'm not going to say names, but one person on here didn't even know this was going on.
I think the intent of the project partners, if I can speak, because we've had this happen occasionally, is these are oftentimes organizations and contact people who the grantee would often communicate with throughout the project, potentially as a partner. So
yes.
these individuals may not have completely signed on to the project, but they have an influence into how the project will work. And so taking one right off the top, the Ravalli County Economic Development Authority, their job is economic development in Ravalli County, and naturally as a business community, they're going to look to those folks for some guidance, and so they'd be a good partner in this project.
Okay.
So they haven't signed up to be on this, but they would be naturally involved.
Okay.
And I think that's what this group is trying to demonstrate to the state is, look, we have these resources to collaborate on this project.
Okay.
Mr. Sherwood.
This looks great. Thank you for putting it together. I just want to know if there's anything that we need to do. From my understanding is the money comes into the town. Is there anything we need to do to make sure that that money isn't spent elsewhere? Is it going to go into a specific fund? So it can't.
Yes, so it would go into the Economic Development Fund, naturally.
And specifically be used for the purpose that are outlined.
Yeah. It goes in, they give an invoice, I process it, it goes to you for approval, and it goes out. It has to be used for
I just want to make sure it's going to be used for what.
This same grant was utilized for the market analysis that we recently did, and it was under the same type of format where draw requests were submitted to the treasurer, and everything came through town council for its blessing on claims and then paid out. And they are subject to all the procurement policies that the town has adopted. So it's state money. The state follows up with us, and they're pretty staunch on making sure we follow their rules.
So
any discussion?
It's $10,000.
Correct.
The period is could be 9 months.
Could be 12 months.
They're looking at completion in November of 2020. Either council discussion or a motion?
You usually write down what motion I have to make to approve something, and I can't find it.
Sorry, there's no council communication for this one.
I'll make the motion.
Motion to Montana Department of Commerce, Montana Main Street Program Application Planning and Project Grant Funding.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Sherwood, seconded by Mr. Vick, to approve the Montana Department of Commerce, Montana Main Street Program Application for Planning and Project Grant Funding. Council discussion? Public comment? Anybody want to speak to it? Ms. Spies.
Gretchen Spies, 317 Main Street, Stevensville. I'm just begging you to please approve this because I've had sleepless nights
thinking about what's going to happen to Main Street businesses, which I've been a Main Street business owner for 30 years. What's going to happen to us, because I remember what Stevensville was like before Main Street. And we need some form, it doesn't have to be Main Street, it can be a business association, we need some form to continue with the exposure of our tiny little town that's off the beaten track. So please, focus. Colleen Meyer, Executive Director with Historic St. Mary's Mission. Stevensville is a very unique town in many aspects. Stevensville and the Bitterroot Valley are the ancestral homeland of the Bitterroot Salish tribe with very rich history. St. Mary's Mission, along with the first European settlement in Montana, was founded in 1841. It is truly remarkable that this community has sustained itself for 178 years. I can give you a list of 24 of Montana's first major occurrences and events that are a very significant part of Stevensville's history. We are all very proud of the taglines, "Where Montana Began" and "Montana's First Best Place." No other town in Montana can state any of these facts. Being a mile off Highway 93, we must give people a reason to drive into our town, which brings us to the many reasons for supporting the application that is being presented to you tonight. We need a group or an organization to hold our community together. Before the Stevensville Main Street Association formed in 2000, St. Mary's Mission seemed to be an island, only two blocks off Main Street, however struggling to function as a nonprofit museum. Through membership with Main Street Association, Historic St. Mary's Mission became a part of the downtown community. We desperately need structure to bring the businesses and nonprofits together for marketing and promotion of our town. Research and study are required to develop a customized model for our very unique and historic town. It is extremely important that we continue to work in partnership to implement fresh concepts and philosophies that are so critical to maintain a healthy and thriving community. I ask you, the Town Council, and Mayor Dewey to please submit the planning and project grant application as we strive to give people a reason to visit Montana's first best place. Thank you.
Any further public comment? Mr. Michelson.
When I got on the council in 2016, there was a lot more people here. They were part of Main Street. And no offense, I know any of you all, you're here for good reason. You're here to promote the town. You're here to promote the businesses. I get that. But what does this do for the citizens on my street? What does it do for the citizens that need sidewalks, curb outs? It just seems like we're moving over from Main Street Association over to this, and I know you're promoting the town, and I know you mean well, but if you listen to all the chatter tonight, you hear about the rates of the water and sewer, you hear about the lighting district, you hear about everything else, everything's going up. Mr. Gibson said we need to do something for the taxpayers. What does this do for the businesses beyond Main Street? I know it's no longer a Main Street Association, but what does it do for Napa? What does it do for the car wash? What does it do for the people out there that are struggling to make a living? I heard a story in 2017 that the whole town was going to fold up and blow away, and it's still here. She made a good point. It's one of the oldest towns in Montana. It's still here. And I know we need to promote it, but We have to involve volunteers, and we have to do more, and we, the town is not into, the town isn't in a business. It does promote it, but we're not in the business of giving people money to promote it. It's economic development, but is it really developing the town, the people as a whole? And right now, in this period of time, this town is struggling economically. I don't think we're really fiscally responsible to give $10,000.
Just to clarify, it is a grant. It's coming from the state of Montana. The town is the applicant of it. So there's no money from the town's pocketbook.
No check is coming
from the town of Stevensville going to any... And our hope, Mr. Michelson, our hope, Mr. Michelson, is that a lot of the questions you asked about how this helps the citizens will be answered through this endeavor.
And I actually want to thank you, Bob, because we're going to ask you, what should it be? Should it include Napa? Should it be bigger?
That's right.
There's no reason why it couldn't be. So we will ask you, so we come with your answers. Thank you.
Is there further public comment?
I just want to answer Mr. Michelson's questions about how this helps the town, how this helps Napa, how this helps other businesses. Well, the Main Street Association for 12 years? 15 years?
20.
Well, Scarecrow. 14 years has helped with the Scarecrow Festival. This is an event that I've worked on for the last six. But every year, there's more and more people that come to this one event alone. There were 6,000 people in our businesses, in our restaurants, everywhere on the Friday night that we had Scarecrow Festival this year. And that was doubled from last year. So that's what this does for our community. It puts money into our businesses. It helps jobs. That's what this is going to do. It's going to continue to do things like this. The Scarecrow Festival, First Fridays, Country Christmas, possibly even help with Western Heritage Days. Any other questions about what this is going to do?
And it makes us love our camp.
Yes.
Mayor.
Yes.
I'm glad it was clarified. I mean, this is not costing the town money. I don't think $10,000 is going to take care of the Scarecrow Festival or whatever, but I support it. I'll say it right now. I support it. Because it is coming out of the town. I don't really know what it will be able to accomplish. Time will tell. But again, it's not going to do the Scarecrow Festival or any of that for $10,000. So yeah, I support it this time. It's not coming from the town of Stevensville, and so I support it.
Is there any further public comment in favor or opposed to the grant application? Gretchen?
Gretchen Spies again. One thing that this Main Street did do at one point is get a grant to help with the water and sewer infrastructure. It has done things.
Chief Motley, did you have a...
So we'll take that $10,000 and use it for the decree.
Chief, public comment.
Jeff Motley, 13 Main Street. Thank you. I'd like to say thank you to these people that went out, found the grant opportunity, bring it forward, trying to help and continue to improve the town of Stevensville and the whole community. It takes a lot of people like these ladies to volunteer, step up, come forward and be a part of it. And, you know, I think that the business community needs to take ownership of this and drive it. That's who needs to drive this. It's not the town council or the city government that needs to drive this. It's the business community that needs to drive it. And also the community members that need to drive it from the top of their own community.
There are a large number of business owners here tonight that came to support this, and I think that everyone here for this should stand up, because you've all given up your whole night to be here. I think that all the council members should see who's here for this.
All right. The same personnel had to leave 10 minutes before.
So. Understandable. Okay, with that, if there's no further public comment on the issue, I'll go ahead and call for the vote from the council. You ladies okay?
Yep.
All right, fantastic. All right, call for the vote. Councilmember Shewart.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Vic.
Aye.
And Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
All right, motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item G, or excuse me, 10G, discussion decision suspending council's rules, canceling the November 28th regular meeting and December 26th regular meeting, and authorizing claims to be paid out of cycle. As previously discussed in regards to meeting dates, the 28th happens to fall on Thanksgiving, and the 26th is the day after Christmas. I don't expect council wants to meet those dates. And so I'm giving you an opportunity to cancel those meetings and authorize the bills be paid business as usual. Ms. Holcomb?
I move that we suspend council rules canceling the November 28th regular meeting and the December 26th regular meeting and authorize the finance officer to pay claims out of cycle.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Sheward, to suspend council rules, canceling November 28th regular meeting and the December 26th regular meeting, and authorizing the finance officer to pay claims out of cycle. Discussion. Public comment. Call for the vote. Councilmember Vic.
Aye.
Councilmember Gibson.
Aye.
Councilmember Sheward.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
All right. Last item on the business agenda is item H, discussion decision, town hall closure on November 29th. 2019, following the Thanksgiving holiday. As is stated in your council communication, traditionally, the town council has closed town hall the Friday following Thanksgiving, allow the staff to take the day off. They'll either take that day off without pay, use vacation time, or comp time, depending on their probationary status with the town.
So, Mayor, that was my only question. I want people to do that, but obviously, if you haven't been here for 6 months, you can't take vacation.
Correct.
So they would either choose to take vacation, they can take vacation, or leave without pay.
They can take the individuals who are not within their, or who have not exceeded their probationary status, will either have to take comp time if they've accrued it, or take the day without pay, or come to work. Ms. Holcomb.
I just want to say that's how it used to be. We never did close the town the day after Thanksgiving. The employees had it was first come, first serve.
Sure.
Whoever wanted time off, they had to use their vacation.
And that's the case now. I think the tradition was started when all the employees happened to ask for vacation at the same time. And I don't know, there may be an employee or two that comes into the office on that day. I don't know that. But with low staffing, we try to close the office if there's just one person here for safety.
Except when you go to Billings.
Then we take them all with us.
That's right.
That's right. Well, Denise can hold her ground. We don't worry about her. Mr. Vick.
I'll make a motion to authorize the closure of town hall for the day after Thanksgiving in perpetuity until another council decides that it won't happen again.
Woof that. Is there a second?
What?
All right. It's been moved and moved by Mr. Vick and seconded by Mr. Sheward that town hall be closed the Friday following Thanksgiving in perpetuity until another council.
Does that mean they're closed next year?
Yeah, forever.
Yeah, forever.
Forever.
I second that.
Well, it's been seconded. Mr. Vick is giving the council the opportunity to never have to consider this item again unless they want to pull it back. So with that, is there any further discussion? Public comment. Just a reminder to the public, if you wish to make your water bill payment still on the day after Thanksgiving, there's no Black Friday deal, but the box out front of the door will take your payment nonetheless. All right, if there's no public comment, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Councilmember Sheward?
Aye.
Councilmember Vic?
Aye.
And Gibson?
Aye.
All right, motion passes 3-1. Given the length we've been here, I anticipated that, I don't have a formal executive report to report to you. I'll just update on a couple of items. One being The Flip the Switch coloring contest is launched. This is our second year in doing that. So children ages 3 to 12 who wish to compete for the opportunity to flip the Christmas lights on the first Friday in December, they have that chance. They just need to get a coloring sheet. Those are available on our website here at Town Hall. In fact, I think there's some on the counter tonight and also at the Bitter Star, and it's on our website as well. More information can be found there about the program. There's also a lot of discussion and some public feedback regarding this Nicole Court housing project. This issue of whether or not it's subject to council's approval, planning and zoning approval, et cetera, that question has been asked of the administration. We can find nothing in our development code that requires the town council or any other governing body within the organization to approve that project outside of a building permit being issued and a zoning review by the zoning administrator. They are not doing a subdivision, and as the project stands today, it meets all of the development code requirements within our development code. So if folks wish to express one way or another their opinions on the project, it really needs to be driven towards the Human Resource Council and the individuals who are developing the property. The town right now has no say in the matter as to whether that project happens or not. There's nothing in the code that allows it. So we have vetted that. Know that the administration isn't trying to ramrod an affordable housing project down people's throats or drive it into the community. Albeit our growth policy does support the project, our hands are tied and there won't be a public hearing, there won't be council discussion, unless a dynamic with that project changes, which requires it to do so. So with that, I'll open it for town council comments. Mr. Gibson.
And not on that, too, but I did look at your 16 plan, so no matter what's happened, any future development proposal, such as the other part of Creekside, we'll have to have public hearings. We'll have to go through the whole process.
Correct. There's a subdivision review process. This project does not subdivide the property.
I understand.
Further council comment? Ms. Holcomb.
I just want to make a comment that during the public hearing, it was mentioned that the council voted against closing the alley. And I just want to say again, at the last meeting with prior council member Michelson and prior council member Cruz, it was passed to move forward. It did not fail.
Any further council comment?
I have a comment.
Our public comment portion, unfortunately, we're done with that for the evening. I apologize, but I'm happy to hear from you after the meeting. Okay? Thank you. Any further council comment? Council comment.
So this meeting the 19th, if it's okay with other, can we possibly do it earlier than 7 o'clock like we've done before?
I planned on scheduling it for 6:30.
About 6, are you okay with that?
I could possibly make it here at 6.
Can we make it 6?
6 okay for you two?
It might be hard for me to be here by 6, to leave Missoula at 5.
Then we only need 3 of us.
We'll start with that.
So you can't be here by 6?
I wouldn't be here.
Okay, 6:30 then.
6:30, is that okay with you, Scott? Okay, 6:30 on the 19th, we'll reconvene to address the property acquisition. Any further council comment? Board reports?
We had a great board meeting.
You still haven't met.
I'm not going
to. I actually got to say for council comments, everyone have a safe Thanksgiving and whatnot. If you're not going to be here for our meeting on the 19th, have a safe Thanksgiving. Don't put frozen turkeys in hot oil. And have a great Black Friday.
All right, if there's nothing
and
further.
Small Business Saturday.
And Cyber Monday.
And Cyber Monday.
All right, with that, we'll adjourn the meeting. Have a good night, everyone.